Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host this week, Chris Cameron, and our guest, Anne Marshall. Each week, we visit with a local or regional author or other persons involved with writers and readers. We ask our guests to introduce us to their work and to read for us. We like to get a glimpse into their lives, find out what inspires them, and what prompts them to write. We're delighted to have Anne Marshall visit us today. Welcome, Anne. Anne Marshall has been involved in volunteer and community organizations since she began working in the tourist industry, of which she has wide experience. Volunteer positions as chair of Peterborough Kawartha's Tourism, the Ontario Tourism Marketing Partnerships Corporation, and Resorts of Ontario Board, member of the United Way of Peterborough and other organizations, gave her opportunities to use her marketing skills in the community as well as in her position as Director of Sales and Marketing and Human Resources at Elmhurst Resort in Keene, Ontario. The motivating force in her life has been mentoring and watching former employees and colleagues achieve success. She's always loved to travel and continues to pursue her love of writing, publishing her first novel, Reckless, in September 2019. Now Anne and her partner, Peter Elmhurst, explore the world on their motorcycles, expanding their network and enjoying semi-retirement, the best way to ensure your succession plan works. Well, Anne, tell us a little about yourself. Why do you write?
Why does anyone write? It's a creative outlet, I guess. I started as a journalism student thinking that I was going to cover world wars and magical things, and I got ice capades and obituaries. So I kind of put it on the back burner for a while and decided that someday I would write a book.
Uh-huh.
And when people asked us, are you going to write about your travels? I thought, oh, they look so bored. No, I'm going to tell them I'm going to write a romance. And they would all go, oh my gosh, that's great. So why not?
Well, actually, your background has also given you a huge advantage because you've done so much marketing. Hasn't that been helpful in marketing your book?
Yes, it has. Yeah. It has.
Not many of the writers I know have that advantage. So you do an enormous amount of traveling, but you weren't tempted to write about it because of this reaction, huh?
That's right. But I think my characters will travel. The characters will travel. They will be able to see different places and experience them. Mm-hmm. And in that way, I can still incorporate a lot of the things I've done in the book.
And so what was the attraction of the romance novel, apart from giving everybody something to think about?
I am finding that at my age,
people
are looking for romance.
I agree with you.
Yes. They seem to have, you know, a roof over their heads, enough food, but they don't have romance. And I just thought there has to be a fun way of getting people back into romance or thinking about romance or thinking about the things that might have been romantic at some point in their life.
Well, I have a friend who says we've reached the age for happy endings. And, you know, that is the sort of bottom line for what she reads.
Yes.
So you've set your story in London, England, and why did you choose that setting?
I did because North Americans are a little more easy with their feelings, and I felt that a British man would make the perfect romance partner for my character.
Once he'd been persuaded to be romantic, you mean?
Yes. No, I think he had it in him. He just needed someone to bring it out.
I see. And so what does the setting contribute to the story, though?
The setting allows for class systems. It allows for groups of neighborhoods and different people. It allows for a cultural network of people who are living and working in the City of London. And it allows them to take trips and do things around London, to be near the sea, to be close to theater, to have access to cultural events as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it worked best for me.
Tell us a little bit about some of the other people in the book, especially the The immigrant people in the story, who are interesting, especially to a Canadian, used as we are to the cultural brocade in cities like Toronto, but London is similar. One of the families that come to play is the, are they Pakistani or Indian family?
Yes, there is an Indian family, and then there's also folks from Lebanon.
Did you find it a good way to expand the story, to have families from other cultures talk about?
I did. I have Maddie meeting Grace, who is from the Caribbean, and they become friends. She meets a chauffeur who is East Indian, but a very well-read, amazingly loyal employee, and she becomes a mentor to him. She saves someone in an accident at a subway station and becomes very close to their neighborhood. The food is a big part of it. The culture, there's a boarding school that comes into play, and there's a day where they have an issue being able to get away on a day trip, so Maddie takes them in, and they have goats, and you can imagine a garden filled with people, smells, food, tents. There's a
Sebastian's garden, I guess you're
yes, it
about.
Is. Uh-huh. And he returns home, not quite sure what to do with the scene in front of him.
Well, I think that also tells us a lot about the character of London. So that's how London contributed to the story, I guess.
Yes. I was an exchange student in England, and I always felt that I shocked people when I spoke because they were so reserved. They were so polite. And I was polite.
What about Canadians? They have that reputation, after all. But well, anyway.
They do. And I have to tell you that in the aftermath of the book being out, it's been two gentlemen who have said to me, I think you need to ramp up the sex scenes.
There you go. And were they British gentlemen at that?
No! I don't think a British gentleman would say that.
You don't, huh? No. Maybe you don't know the right ones.
Maybe. That's the next book.
Okay, well, anyway, how about reading to us and introducing us to the story?
I'd like to start from the beginning, if that's all right.
Oh, yes, that's fine.
Okay. Music blaring, lights flashing. The gallery was a happening place. Maddie walked through the well-dressed crowd, wondering how they could stand in their high heels and tight garb. They were probably wondering how someone with a simple frock and flats obtained an invite to this event. The very thought made her laugh. This was mad. The art on the wall was clearly avant-garde and priced very high. Not much here for a working girl to consider, she thought. As she turned the corner, she caught a glimpse of a tall, brooding man in a well-appointed suit, staring intently at the wall. The elaborately framed art piece was so hideous that Maddie wondered if he was related to the artist. Who else would look at the mess on the wall for more than a second? His silver hair was a little too long, resting on his starched shirt collar. Handsome? Perhaps, but in a dangerous way. He appeared to be age 60 or so, but well preserved. His arms were crossed, and he moved his hand to his chin in contemplation. Maddie realized she was staring at him. She shook her head but was drawn by the way he was standing, one ankle crossed over the other. Why am I even looking? She wondered. As she moved closer, something about this man looked complicated. She approached the figure and in a loud, staid voice said, "Would you really consider buying that for your wall?" He turned slowly and her heart fluttered. Maddie was sure she was burning up with a fever and her legs felt weak. Surely he was a piece of art. He cocked his head and stared quizzically. You don't like it? As he moved his head, the light defined his features, a fine face with character, and yet his eyes looked distant and sad. Posture, ramrod straight. Boarding school, she guessed. They stared at each other for what seemed like minutes before a shrill voice broke the spell. Ah, Sebastian, there you are. Where have you been all night? The voice was getting closer. Maddie heard a groan escape his lips and saw the grimace on his face. His eyes darted towards the voice. At least now he had a name, Sebastian. Just kiss me, Maddie said as she leaned forward and grabbed the lapels of his jacket and pulled him to her. The kiss was long and stirring. He had not hesitated or faltered.
Well, that's quite an introduction to the two main characters. Very unexpected. Now we have to read the rest of it, right?
I hope so.
Yes. Thank you very much, Anne. Now we'll take a short break.